I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You can tell that that's not Jesse next to me. It's my faithful wife, Mary Danielle. She's the host on The Bible with the Barbers. And I've got three guests today. It's going to be an unusual show, but it's going to be an exciting show. Jesse will be back on Monday. The first guest is Father Charles Murr. I believe I have him on the line right now. Father Murr, welcome. Not yet. All right, not yet. Well, Father Murr is going to be talking about the issue of Freemasonry and the infiltration into the church. He's got a story that he talked about yesterday. Ooh. And I said, you can't leave us on the edge of our chairs, Father Murr. Father Murr, are you there? Are you with us?
I would never leave you on the edge of your chair. It's a very dangerous position.
And Father Murr, we also have...
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Father.
Father, this is exciting. We're going to be hitting with the gospel, or we call it the soul food. But we also have Brenda Garcia coming in, who's this young actress, a stunt girl from Hollywood, who's in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. She's going to be doing a show tomorrow on the Terry and Jesse Show that she's going to talk about. And the goal is to reach young people today, because 83% of young people by the time they're 23 are not practicing their Catholic faith. That's a big problem. So we're going to cover that also. But the most important thing we're going to cover, Mary Danielle, is the scriptures and the gospel of today's Mass. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like to ask Father Murr to do the reading and then give us your insights, because, you know, the Bible with the Barbers, that's what you do. You're going to be talking later in the show about the inerrancy of Scripture, which is something that all Catholics need to know what the Church teaches, because there's been a lot of modernist theology going with Scripture scholars that Father Murr probably was taught by, by the way, and that need to be corrected. And so we're going to talk about that and also the inspiration of Scripture. What do we believe about that? So, Father Murr, if you could read the gospel and proclaim it to us, I would appreciate it.
An honor. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives. And whoever seeks finds. And whoever knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father Murr, thank you for reading that. It's such a beautiful story, too, really. Yeah. Mary, what's the
Well, there's a lot going on here, isn't there, Father? So
there is.
Jesus,
and I can't wait to explain it to us.
Well, thank you, Father. There, you know, and interesting, with the scriptures, we always want to look at the literal historical meaning there. What is Jesus talking about? And of course, he's talking, you know, what have you, if you have a friend who comes in the middle of the night and you don't have anything for him, you're going to go to your neighbor, knock on the door. And of course, everybody's in the same room sleeping. And no, I'm not going to get up. That's going to disturb the whole household. But again, that also applies to our life today and what is our Lord telling us about how we should live our life. So the friend comes in the middle of the night and asks for three loaves. And at first the guy says, look, I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to wake everybody up to give you something. But the man persists. Well, why would the friend get up? If I get up, I'm going to wait. Well, what? Well, if the guy keeps persisting at knocking at the door, what's going to happen?
Hmm.
He's going to wake everybody up. So the man's going to get up. And I think it's so beautiful. You know, in the book of Daniel, and I think it's either chapter 9 or chapter 11 or in there, Daniel has a vision and he wants to understand it, but he doesn't understand. So he asks God for an answer. Now, he asks God for an answer and he prays and he prays. And finally, on day 21 of his prayer, the angel Gabriel shows up to explain it to him.
Mm-hmm.
A very good priest friend that we know, all know, Father William, said,
Wagner. Yeah.
There's always seems like there's always a strike in heaven. You know, it's like mail order. So the angel Gabriel shows up on the 21st day. And what's interesting is what the angel Gabriel tells Daniel. He says, Daniel, on the very first day you prayed, God answered your prayer. But had you not persevered to the 21st day in asking, mm-hmm. you would not have received the answer.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. What? Mm-hmm. So we have to persevere in asking?
Yep.
Yes. How long did St. Monica have to persevere in asking for the conversion of St. Augustine? He was 33 when he was finally baptized. What if she had given up when he was 28, 29? You know, what a loss for the world, the church. You know, all of history.
Sure.
But she persevered. And this is the thing with us today. I know a lot of us, especially in the situation we're in with the election, it's like, oh, God, give us an answer. Save our country. Don't. And basically, we don't want the chaos. We don't want the confusion. We don't want anarchy. We don't want our country to dissolve into civil war.
Right.
What if it does? We're praying the 54-day Rosary Novena. Mm-hmm. What if after the election, all that happens is that just there's total civil unrest and civil war? Are we all going to say, but God, I prayed. You didn't answer my prayer. And it's interesting because the priest at Mass this morning said, well, yeah, God answered your prayer. He might say yes, but not right now. He might say no. And that's an answer, by the way. Or he might say, you're asking for the wrong thing. So what are we asking for? Are we asking for his glory? Are we asking that his kingdom come and his will be done? So we need to persevere in our prayer. And I want to tell the story of Austria. I'm not going to tell all the details. But in 1945, after World War II, the communists had control of Austria in Europe. Now, in 1955, the communists left Austria without a war.
Shot fired.
Exactly. Is this microphone on? Is anybody out there listening? There was no war. And the communists gave up Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, Austria was strategic in Europe. Why? Well, in Austria, there was a priest who organized not public rosary crusades because he couldn't do it, but he got in touch with Catholics in Austria, faithful Catholics, and an underground rosary crusade. And he had at least 10% of the people of Austria daily praying the rosary. They didn't stop. It took 10 years. Are we willing to go for the long game?
Yeah.
Are we willing to persevere and keep knocking even when our knuckles are bleeding and our hands are raw? Are we willing to keep saying please when our voice is hoarse from begging? We have to persevere. And that's just the first part of the gospel. We're not done yet.
Wow. Keep going, girl. You're fired up. Go ahead.
And then he talks about asking.
Perry, I can see why you married this woman.
Yeah, exactly. It's also, she's beautiful too, I might add. But go ahead. She's intelligent. Yeah, go ahead.
God is good. God is good. And I tell you, not ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open you. So, and then he makes an interesting analogy here, and that's that perseverance in prayer, that knocking, that seeking, that asking. But of course, remember that Christ in the Our Father teaches us how to pray. Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So the first thing we're praying for is the coming of his kingdom and that we do our part in bringing that. But then he goes on to say something very interesting. What father among you would hand his son a snake if he asked for a fish, or hand him a scorpion if he asked for an egg? Mm-hmm. If you who are evil know how to give your children good things, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, Jesus is saying a couple of things there. What's interesting is he said, which father among you would give his son a snake if he asked for a piece of bread? Well, which a fish, excuse me, a fish, which father among you would give your son a snake if he asked for it? A poisonous snake, a viper.
Nobody.
Which father among you would give his son a scorpion, a poisonous scorpion, if he asked for it? Are we going to give our children poison? Well, not if we love them. Right. And so we need to love each other enough to not give each other the poison of sin. And to not allow each other to live in the poison of sin. To be able to call out sin and say, no, this is degrading to the human person. This takes you away from God, and it degrades you as a human being. And then Jesus says, what's interesting is, you know, we say, okay, how much more will the Father give to those who ask? Ask for what? The Holy Spirit. Do we ask the Father to give us his Holy Spirit? Do we ask for the fullness of the Spirit? We should be begging God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So if we, with all our evil, know how to give our children good things, mm-hmm. how much more does our Father in heaven rain down his grace and the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and where the Holy Spirit is, guess what? The Father and the Son are there with him. So God gives us himself when we ask.
Awesome. Now, Mary, you do the Bible with the Barbers here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. That's every Friday after the Terry and Jesse show. You can go to our website, which is virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and listen to all the different shows that you do. I thank you for that, Mary Danielle. Up next, Father Murr, author of the Godmother book, and he's going to share with us a story regarding St. John Paul II that I don't think too many people have heard. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse show. Jesse's out of town today. We'll be back with Father Charles Murr, and then don't forget, we've got Brenda Garcia coming also to talk about how to bring young people back to the church. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Brenda Garcia is sitting in the seat where my wife was just at, because she, later in the show, is going to talk about her program tomorrow with us on the Terry and Jesse Show, how to bring young people back to the church. But before we do that, during the break, I got word that Jesse Romero on the road called in. Jess, welcome, brother. What's going on?
Hey, Terry, I'm over here on the road here in Arizona. I'm on the Trump bus right now, and we're going from one city to another here in Arizona, just trying to get the pro-life vote, the Catholic vote, the Latino vote to vote for President Trump. And so I'm one of the I guess they call me a surrogate. They call me one of the surrogates for Trump in Arizona, and I'm just here doing my thing, just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well said.
To people in the crowd and stuff, and just trying to tell them that this man is pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious liberty, and he's everything consistent with Catholic and Latino values.
Well, Jesse, what kind of response are you getting from the Latino community?
We're going to win. We're going to break records. You're going to see more Latinos come up for Trump than any other Republican in the history of the United States.
Wow.
Trust me. It's tracking in that direction.
Good.
Latinos are red-pilling. They're realizing that the Democrat Party is a party of socialism, and Latinos are fleeing socialism. That's why they come from south of the border over here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want socialism, and they know that Joe Biden and the Democrats represent that. So you're going to see a surge of Latinos voting for Trump this election. And I think it's going to surprise the entire nation.
Well said, Jess. Well, Jesse, I'm so excited that you called in to give our listeners a little update. They can be praying for you that your health will hold up, because what you're doing, Jesse, is not easy, going on a bus, going to different towns, you know. And I'm sure glad that you're representing our church, too, as a layman.
That's right.
To speak about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I thank you for that call in, Jess. Appreciate it.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. God bless.
Got it. All right. Back to Father Charles Murr. That was Jesse Romero just giving us an update on what he's doing.
That was a great call.
He surprised me. Father Murr, just to set the stage, yesterday you were on the show. We talked about your book, The Godmother. People can get it from Amazon. And there's an article on Inside the Vatican magazine, which I recommend people to subscribe to. You were in the middle of telling the story. I'm going to leave you where you left off, but kind of summarize so that people know, for those who didn't hear yesterday's show, they know about what you're talking about in regards to Freemasonry. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just back up a little bit from yesterday.
Please do.
For those people who didn't hear it. In 1972, now remember, these are the post-conciliar years.
Yes.
These are the years that of experimentation.
Oh, big time.
With the liturgy,
crazy.
With religious life, with Catholic education.
Everything.
With everything that smelled of incense. Anything that had to do with Catholic was experimented upon, probed, tested, and terrible.
Yep.
There were horrible times. Anyway, in 1972, Pope Paul VI sensed that the smoke of Satan had entered the sanctuary of Christ.
Yeah, he said
in
it.
In other words, that he said it, all right?
Yep.
And that bothered him, because I'm gonna venture to guess this way. What he was already seeing was that things were going not the way he thought they were going to go.
Yeah.
Okay?
Of course.
After the council. When you've got to remember, in all fairness to everyone, we were all excited about the Second Vatican Council.
Of course.
We were excited that it was happening, and that there was going to be this new outpouring of the Holy Ghost in all of the world, and that all of us were going to be united, ecumenism.
Yep.
So they were exciting times. Kennedy was alive. There was a real hope in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, around the beginning of the 70s, things started going south. We had tens of thousands of priests who left the priesthood. Hundreds of thousands of nuns who left their vocations, their apostolates. It was terrible.
It was.
Schools closing, on and on. In 1975, 2.5 years after he had made that comment, the Pope, he called at that time Archbishop Edward Gagnon,
yes,
who at that time was the rector of the Pontifical Canadian College in Rome. Mm-hmm. Gagnon was a canon lawyer, nobody's fool, sharp mind. The Pope called him and commissioned him to do a study of the Roman Curia. Now, let me just explain what that means.
Yes.
The Pope wanted him to go through and speak to everyone from the highest to the lowest involved in the government of the Catholic Church, the central government in Rome.
Right.
Because things were going wrong. There was something wrong. All right. Gagnon did that. He took up that office. It was called visitor. He was called the visitor of the apostolic visitor for the visitation. And it was an investigation, a serious one. It took Gagnon 3 years, and he did this full time.
Wow.
And he was a man who worked 10, 12, 14 hours a day, really seriously dedicated. After 3 years, he had finished the study. And he went to see Pope Paul VI, who was now very old and frail.
Yes.
And he saw the Pope, and he gave him the result of his study. And the Pope said, I'm not the man to bring this to fruition. It's my time is past. We'll leave it for my successor. Well, 50 days later,
yep.
He died. He died on August 6th, 1978.
Yep, that's right.
Exactly. And Gagnon went home with the study, brought it back, and we went through the election process, which gave us John Paul I. I think people remember him. They called him the smiling Pope.
Right.
There was a lot behind that smile. He was not a naive man. He was an intelligent, sharp man. And he also knew that things were had gone wrong. Something had gone wrong in the church. After he had been elected, shortly after his election, he called Gagnon in and asked to see the study that he had done and his recommendations. Gagnon gave him the recommendations. There were many things that had to be addressed. Some of them principally was the head of the Congregation for Bishops,
mm-hmm.
the Vatican Bank, and the Secretary of State,
mm-hmm.
the Vatican. Those were three of the most delicate and important things that he brought to the Pope's attention. And of course, John Paul I already knew that something was wrong. Well, the Pope promised he would look into these matters. He mm-hmm. asked Gagnon's further cooperation. And as we know, a few weeks later, or just a few, yeah, like 2 weeks later, he died.
Right.
I think we could say safely under mysterious circumstance.
You're right. That. I think he's right.
Yeah. Anyway, that was it. Anyway, JP2, John Paul II, is elected. Basically, I don't get into this in this book so much, mm-hmm. but I am getting into it in a book that I'm writing right now about
Good.
The death of John Paul I.
Yes.
But basically, it was the same group of people. It was a repeat of the last election. Everybody knew who everybody was, so and who they were voting for and which way. John Paul II, Karol Wojtyła from Poland, is elected Pope. And after a while, a week or so, he also called Gagnon in and asked Gagnon about this study that was done on the Roman Curia. Both of these men did something. I was saying this yesterday. They did something that, according to me, this is the gospel according to me. Okay, this is my take on it. I may be completely wrong. But as a man I used to know years ago, a professor said, I may be completely wrong, but I seriously doubt it. Anyway, the thing was this. Both John Paul I and John Paul II confirmed everyone in the Roman Curia. Again, we're talking about the central government of the Catholic Church in Rome.
Right. Everybody kept their job. I got it.
Everybody kept their jobs. Mistake. You don't do that.
Exactly.
You don't do that. You put in somebody, especially Secretary of State, of your total confidence.
Exactly.
One of the great winning teams that we had in history was Giuseppe Sardo and Cardinal Ralph Merri del Val, Pius X, and his Secretary of State, Ralph Merri del Val. Mm-hmm. Together, they made a team that
dynamic.
Was fantastic.
Yep.
Dynamic and cleaned up the church and gave a sanctity to so many things.
Yep.
Well, that's what you do, but it was not done. Everyone was confirmed, and of course, that confirmation led to more and more confusion because people are not willing to give up their old ways nor their old positions.
Right.
And they stayed. Cardinal Gagnon, Archbishop Gagnon at the time, told the Pope that if he didn't make some changes and some very clarified which ones they were immediately, that he would live to regret it.
Yes.
And one of them had dealt with the Vatican Bank, the other one with the Congregation of Bishops, the other one with the Secretary of State. The Pope decided not to do anything. And Gagnon said to him, "Holy Father, your very life is in peril." He said, "I want you to know that." He said, but this is serious. Serious. These are serious findings that I bring to you. They're all documented." And the Pope sort of sloughed it off. And just, well, there we go. Anyway, he decided not to act on that. Gagnon contacted me again. I brought him to these different audiences, drove him. Contacted me again I think it was the day after, or 2 days after, to drive him back to the Vatican, where he presented his resignation.
What?
He presented his resignation. He said, "I resign. I quit. There's nothing more I can do to help the situation of the church. What's going to happen is going to happen, and I don't want to be any part of it." And he sent me up to the Secretary of State, where I handed Cardinal Villot his resignation.
Wow.
And goodbye.
Wow.
Villot had a fit, got very upset and ordered me to order Gagnon to come
right.
up. Well, I felt like the bologna in a sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, order me to order him.
Exactly.
Anyway, Gagnon did not go up. I drove Gagnon that same day after he presented his resignation in disgust. I drove him to the airport. He took off. And I think he went back to Colombia to preach to the poor about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the love of God.
Father, let's interrupt this. This is a great teaser. So I went to preach the gospel, and we'll find out what happened to that story here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is with us. Don't turn that dial. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Wow, this story from Father Charles Murr. He's the author of The Godmother. You can get it at Amazon.com to pick up his book. But Father Murr, just to refresh everybody, you're in the middle of driving the cardinal to the airport, right? Where is he going from there?
To Colombia. He taught in Colombia for years and absolutely fell in love with the Colombian people, mm-hmm. the simplicity of life. He was not a complicated man. He was mm-hmm. a very simple man. His room was anything but a cardinal's palace.
Mm-hmm.
Everything very humble. He was a humble man and absolutely good. That's why the Pope chose him to do this study, because mm-hmm. he found an honest man,
yes.
and it was Gagnon. Anyway, Gagnon left Rome, resigned. Everybody's upset with him at the Vatican because they don't know where he is. He said, "That's it. I've had enough. I'm going to not waste any more time in my own life. There's work to do."
Mm-hmm.
And that work was spreading the gospel and giving the sacraments, especially yeah. offering mass and confession
sure.
to people. Why waste time? We lost contact. I lost contact with him for years.
Wow.
Nobody could find him. Right? And all of a sudden, on the 13th of May, 1981, in St. Peter's Square, a man decided he was going to assassinate the Pope.
Right.
And he shot with the intention of killing Pope John Paul II. We all know that
sure.
was a horrible day. Horrible day. Anyway, they got John Paul II to the Gemelli Hospital, which is probably the finest in Rome, and managed to save his life. I won't go into all of the details of that because it was a little bit more complicated than
sure.
just that. When the Holy Father came out of the final operation, because there was, I'll tell you what happened. It wasn't just the bullets. I think he was hit by two bullets. It wasn't just the bullets and the loss of blood and everything else. He actually, I shouldn't say this too loud. No, I shouldn't say it. Otherwise, the Italian Medical Association will be upset with me. But there were some mistakes made in the hospital. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
And it complicated matters. And thank God for Cardinal John O'Connor from New York. Cardinal O'Connor had a great friend, Kevin Cahill, a specialist in tropical diseases in New York City. Great man. Great, great man. And the Cardinal flew him over on a special jet to deal with the problems that the Holy Father was having with blood. It was terrible, terrible. Anyway, they saved his life. When he came to and regained consciousness, it said, I wasn't there, so I have to depend on others, that his first words were, "Find Gagnon."
I love it.
Find Gagnon.
Yes.
That's what, and they did.
Oh, gosh.
They immediately, at that time, Villot had died.
Yes.
As Secretary of State, and Casaroli was the new Secretary of State. Casaroli started a search for Gagnon, and they found him. And he called up Gagnon, and he said, "The Holy Father wishes to not only to see you, he wants you to come back to Rome to work full-time
wow.
as a close advisor. Would you accept?" And he said, and those you don't not accept.
Yeah.
You don't not accept when the Pope is calling you, right?
Sure.
Gagnon said yes. But Gagnon also had a couple conditions. Because at this time, the Vatican Bank, which he had warned about, was a scandal, a public scandal. It was in the height of it. Gagnon had warned him about that before, and also that he risked his own life when that attempt on his life came, that brought it home. Gagnon showed up, and the head of the Congregation for Bishops was changed, and then Cardinal Gantin, who Cardinal Benelli found in Africa and brought and sent to the seminary. Gantin became the new man in charge of making bishops. That was the first good step.
Oh yeah.
And Gagnon was created cardinal. Unbeknownst to me, I was accompanying Archbishop John O'Connor of New York with a group of people from New York. While he was being made a cardinal, and I look at the book, and there is Gagnon being made a cardinal. I had been looking for him for years, couldn't find him.
Wow!
And so I was also at his elevation to the cardinalate, and we renewed friendship and started all over again, became friends and lasting friends until he died. There were so many things that he attempted to do to help the church, to bring back the church, not to bring back. We're not talking about going backwards. We're talking about purifying the church and bringing it to a place where it had to be. What Gagnon realized quite well, the Masonic influence in the church. He realized that they were in the Roman Curia. There were Freemasons in the Roman Curia. He realized that there were Freemasons among the cardinals.
Wow.
And he and other men, also, I'm not going to mention their names right now, other cardinals, brought this to the Pope's attention.
Right.
And, John Paul II was a very good man and a very holy man, and I'm sure he's in heaven. There's no question of that. Sure. But besides, what do you mean, I'm sure he's canonized?
Yeah. So
he is. There's no question of it. However, that doesn't mean that every single thing that he did was the right thing.
Exactly.
And I think there should have been, I know there should have been more detail given to taking care of the home government,
what was happening
right around him.
Exactly.
Every time that the Pope made a trip, an international trip, which were fantastic, don't get me wrong, and he brought a lot of people to Christ, there's no question about that, and he touched millions and millions of lives. But every time he left Rome, there was an applause from the Roman Curia. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Exactly.
And they played. And they took advantage of that. They took advantage of his goodness. Anyway, Cardinal Gagnon and I remained very close friends. I was with him just a week before he died. Mm. And when he died, I went back to Montreal for his funeral. Mm-hmm. Great, 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 wonderful man. The book that I wrote, The Godmother,
yes,
is about Mother Pasqualina and her years with Pius XII and afterwards.
Right.
So this part of Cardinal Gagnon's life, there are parts of that visitation that are contained in this book. Mm-hmm. But it gives a larger perspective on what was happening in the church during the 1970s. During the 70s,
right.
And they were years of confusion that we're still, according to me, we're still suffering from.
That's what we're still suffering from. Father, let me just jump in and say that is the connection. Sure. Why I wanted you to tell this story is that here we are in 2020, and we see some crazy things going on in the church. And I'm a layman. I wasn't there. But it makes sense that we still have this influence of Masonic influence into the church. Am I onto something?
Terry, look at it this way. Just look at it this way. There was a man who was in charge of creating the world's bishops.
Yes.
All right. His name was Cardinal Sebastian Baggio. Mm-hmm. He was accused of not only Masonic affiliations, of being a Mason.
And the proof for this were brought to the Pope's attention personally. This man, for, I don't know, I want to say 11 or 12 years, in the 70s, created all of the bishops in the world.
Wow.
Now, am I saying that all of the bishops in the world who were created bishops during the 1970s were Freemasons?
No.
Not at all.
No.
I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, what I am saying is, they were to his liking.
Yeah.
Therefore, they were on the liberal side of everything.
Right.
That was a must for him. Right. It was also, we had in the United States, particularly the United States, we had an apostolic delegate, the Pope's representative, Jean Jadot. Jadot was a Belgian who was in charge of finding candidates for the bishoprics. He was, when he retired from the United States, gave an interview with Time magazine. I just found the interview. Mm-hmm. I just found it the other day. I knew I had read it years ago, where he was congratulating himself on having created more than 75 liberal bishops.
Ouch.
Now, when a European talks about liberal, he's not talking liberal like an American is talking liberal. No. To say liberal to a European is to say Masonic.
Got it.
It's to say French Revolution.
No, wow.
It's to say that's what liberal is. Well, liberalism. Also, the word republic.
Yeah.
Brings up that it's not very different from American mentality in the words. We had an infiltration of very liberal bishops. Now everyone was, well, this must be the will of the Holy Father. This is the way things are going, until finally Gagnon was able to get that man out.
Yeah. Tell us that story. I mean, a couple minutes we got left. What happened? What did St. John Paul do when he got Gagnon back in that meeting?
Gagnon, it's a little bit late in the game because some of these things should have been done before to avoid the problem. All right, but Gagnon insisted that he would not come and stay in Rome unless this man were taken out of the Congregation for Bishops.
Good.
And the Pope finally changed him.
Wow.
I think they put him in charge of of 2 cent stamps in the Vatican post office or something. When you've got people like this, you don't want to send them too far. You want to keep an eye on them.
Father Murr, for people who want to get your books, they just type your name, Father Charles Murr, author of The Godmother and many other great books. Check it out. Father Murr, you are a good man. I thank you for participating here at Virgin Most Powerful on most Fridays. You're here. So we'll look forward to doing another one soon. God love you, Father.
Terry, you're the best. You're the best.
God love you. If we come back, Brenda Garcia is here to talk about how to bring young people back to church.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. Father Murr's story about the infiltration of the church on Masonry, Freemasonry, needed to be told, and that's why I brought him back. Now I have my new friend, Brenda Garcia, here. Brenda!
Hello!
You're beautiful, you're young, and you've got a history of being in Hollywood, reaching out to people. You've also had some ministry with young people.
That's right.
And I want to say that my goal is I want to have you do a pilot program to reach out to young people so that mom and dad who are listening, say my 20-year-old, 25, 30-year-old son or daughter who's not practicing, they got to listen to your show to help them come back. Because a guy like me is not going to relate to them. But you're their age, you're beautiful, you're young, you're intelligent. Can you tell our listeners what you're going to do tomorrow on the Terry and Jesse Show?
Well, thank you so much, Terry. That was very kind of you. Well, the goal is obviously to help bring the people back into church, especially the young
Amen.
People, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, research has shown that by the time these young folks are 23 years old, 83% have already left the church by the age 23.
That's got to stop, Brenda.
That's like almost, you know, no faith by, no. You know, it's really scary.
It is.
So we need to do something desperately. And I think that the culture is really lying and feeding, you know, a lot of terrible lies to these mm-hmm. young people. So there's a lack of love and there's a lack of faith. And I think it's important that we introduce who God is
Amen.
On this show.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to talk about who is God, what is truth, what is love, what is charity, what are the virtues.
Oh, I love it.
We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, even like we're going to go to relationship issues.
That's awesome.
We're going to be talking about a lot of beautiful things, how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. What about the Eucharist?
Oh, the sacraments.
I love it.
We're going to talk about the sacraments, the commandments, the beatitudes, the virtues.
All that tomorrow?
Oh, not tomorrow. There's a lot. We're just going to talk. We're going to break it down.
But Brenda, we want to do like a 6-week pilot program where you record these radio shows that are geared to young adults. Is that a fair
statement?
That's
right. Yes, that's right. Praise God.
And Brenda, your experience, just for those who don't know, it's the first time, you have actually spoken to tens of thousands of young people down in Mexico in Spanish to
yes.
try and reach them also.
Yes.
And your goal here is similar, to share with the love of God so that they can have that relationship so that they won't leave Holy Mother of the Church.
Right.
Anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, just, you know, I hope that, you know, the word goes out for the young people mm-hmm. who are really in need of knowing who God is and what is truth and what is love. Because the more we are led by the love of Christ, the more ourselves we become. And we're living in a lot of bad and chaos. And so we're trying to bring that good and the truth back in.
Well said. I always say that we act like God doesn't exist in our culture. And we need someone like Brenda Garcia to bring our young people back. So I want to thank you for that teaser. And I'm looking forward to doing a show with you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Brenda. Now my faithful bride, Mary Danielle, is going to step up. And we've got time to talk about the Bible with the Barbers that's aired on Virgin most powerful radio every Friday after the Terry and Jesse show. Mary Danielle.
Hello again.
God bless you. Looking forward to having lunch with you. But before we have lunch, can you tell our listeners a little bit what you're going to share? Because I want them to know that the Bible with the Barbers is your Bible study every week. But share with us what you're going to cover tomorrow so that they want to come and listen to it.
Well, tomorrow we want to talk about inerrancy and inspiration, what they are, what they are not, what that covers. There's a lot of problems. It's interesting that Father Murr was talking about the whole influence of the Masons from the time of the French Revolution and on. And what's happened is you have this whole influence of this. As a matter of fact, there was a time, it's called the Enlightenment in history. Well, the Enlightenment was not about enlightening the intellect. It was about trying to destroy the Catholic Church and put its influence out of society.
Right.
That we were going to create a society where man was his own savior. How does that affect Scripture? How does that affect our view of Scripture? How did that affect the view of inerrancy and inspiration at the time of at that because of that? And what is that? How did that play out in the 20th century and what theologians and Scripture scholars had to say?
Well, what is inerrancy of Scripture? I mean, because people hear that term,
well,
define it.
Inerrancy is a word that means without error.
Amen.
And here's the deal. People say, well, the Scripture can't be without error. I mean, Scripture, it's just a spiritual book. It's just, well, wait a minute. Who do we believe authored the Scripture? And if we do believe that God is the author of Scripture, well, who created the whole world?
Exactly.
Who created everything that is? So if God created everything in his Scripture that tells us about his plan for salvation for mankind, is he going to include things that are going to contradict the reality of what he created? And so inerrancy says there are no errors in Scripture, no historical, no scientific, no religious errors. Mm-hmm. There are no errors at all because we believe God is the author. And that's something that in our time people kind of poo-poo that idea.
And I noticed that Father Murd mentioned when he was on with us that when he was getting formed in the 1970s, that was a common mistake that was being taught to our seminarians that there was error. And about 100 years before that, our Protestant brothers were into that. It seems like we just picked up on that 100 years late.
Well, what's interesting is that Monsignor George Kelly, in his book, The New Biblical Theorist, Raymond Brown and Beyond, points out that the Protestants had actually thrown all of that, started to throw that stuff out because they realized it undermined the authority of Scripture.
That's right.
As God being the authority. And they had... And it took the Catholic theologians, they didn't pick it up until, maybe 50, 60, 70 years after the Protestants were throwing it out. So, it's like, look at these new novel ideas. And the Protestant theologians are like, you go down that road and you're not going to have a Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, but did we listen?
No. And Mary, each week on Friday, you cover different topics, whether it's the angels in the Bible, it's a variety of things, but also inspiration. We talk about the Bible as the inspired word of God. Can you explain a little bit in the few minutes we have left?
Inspiration refers to the Holy Spirit inspiring the authors of Scripture. That God, and in the Second Vatican Council document on the word of God, Dei Verbum, it explains that, yes, God used men to write the Scriptures, and they acted as true authors. So this isn't, we're not talking about channeling. You know, people talk about like Rowling's the author of Harry Potter, and she talks about how she just received all this information and she just was just a channel and it was just came through her and came through her pen and she wrote it very quickly. And that's not what we're talking about. When God uses someone, he doesn't take away their free will. He doesn't take away their abilities and he doesn't take away their intellectual process. But God, according to the church, use the authors of Scriptures in such wise, he inspired them by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they committed to writing what God intended.
Amen.
And nothing else. That's not my words. Though that is in the Second Vatican Council document, Dei Verbum. They have committed to writing what God intended and nothing else. So that's what inspiration is. And I just want to take a personal note here.
Sure.
You know, when I was in my mid-50s and a very good priest friend of ours said, you know, you're kind of stuck in a rut. I think you need to go back to school and study for your master's degree. And it's like, okay, whatever. So we looked around for a master's program where I could stay at home the whole time and study for a master's program. And at the time, John Paul the Great Catholic University, new university in San Diego area, California, was offering a master's in biblical studies.
I love it.
And you could do it from home, the whole thing from home. So I did a three-year program, and I, you know, even studied Greek and Hebrew, and I finished it by the grace of God. But something very interesting happened to me in that time. I've always read the scriptures since I was a child. My father, we prayed the rosary, and when we prayed the rosary, you know, we meditated on the scriptures, we prayed, we went to Mass, we realized the connection of Mass and the scriptures and Christ's life, and, you know, we would think about those things. But that whole study of my the master's work I did on scriptures brought in me a love of scripture that I had never had. I'm not the kind of person who, you know, all consuming, I'm going to spend 24 hours a day, give up my sleep. No, that's not going to happen. But there's this love that it awakened in me. And that's what I want to share with people when I do my Bible with the Barbers. I'm not sharing this with you for that you can have a better knowledge and you can be a better apologist and you can know more than anybody else. I want you to have more love for the scripture than anyone else in your life. That by the grace of God, you would be so inspired to love the Word of God, not just the Scripture, which is His written Word, but the Word of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. That through your study of Scriptures, you would really come to know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and especially Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Sign me up.
Amen.
Every Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Mary Danielle does the Bible with the Barbers. I just sit back and have a good time, and I say things like, hey, Mary, there's no expiration date on that Bible.
No, there's not.
No.
There's not.
And I want to just encourage our listeners to have a better understanding, though, of that family heirloom, our Bible, because sometimes Catholics just haven't had a good basics on why we believe the Bible's the Bible.
Right.
And this will be a good show for you to listen to. Mary Danielle, I ask Jesse Romero every single day. She's smiling. Isn't that a beautiful smile, everybody? Yeah, you're seeing us on YouTube. And oh, by the way, like us on YouTube, because we are getting at least 1,000 to 2,000 new listeners just through YouTube every single week because of you, our listener. That's how the word spreads. Mary Danielle, what state should we be living in, young lady?
The state of grace.
The state of grace. She got it right. She must listen to the Terry and Jesse show. And I also want to thank all those folks that have been helping us here at Virgin Most Powerful, mm-hmm. our third year.
Thank you.
We're painting our Sacred Heart Chapel. You can see on YouTube the picture of it in the inside. We're painting our studios, our offices. And if you want to help us financially with that, you're welcome to go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Or you can call. I'm going to give you my cell number because I talk to people. Whenever people make donations, I want to personally thank you. Call me at 661-972-7872. If you have a question, comment, I might not get to you right away, but I do talk to people all day long, and I love doing it. So I want to thank you ahead of time for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Also, we have another conference coming up on the 7th of November, What Every Catholic Needs to Know About Hell, About the Mass, About the Blessed Virgin Mary, About the Papacy. And these are great videos that we published 20 years ago with Tim Staples, Jesse Romero, Scott Hahn, all the great Father Bill Casey. We're going to show that. Matt Arnold will be with us as our host here on the 7th of November. I hope that we have it up on our website now. You can register to come to that. And I also want to just say that up next, Dr. Sandoval's coming up. I think this is another show that you're going to be blessed with because he's teaching people how to deal with issues that they have from a spiritual and psychological. He is a psychiatrist, and he's not going to charge you $500 an hour. It's free here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family, and full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg Thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of Thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.